Welcome to Shuffle Bloody Shuffle, unearthing metal's bangers and clangers through the decades, one subgenre at a time.
Best yet.
Like that lecture of it?
Best yeah? yet.
All right.
Confident.
Joy.
There was. I felt like you, and no one could see you, but you looked pleased with yourself when you were doing that.
I was very happy.
Yeah.
Joining me as ever, Mike.
I'm learning that bit too. And to my left.
Mike, the all-ager rager.
Oh, surnames now.
Yeah, well, which one's the surname?
Which one is the surname, exactly? Do you want to just hold up my my bank details as well?
Yeah.
Why don't you give my address, John? I mean, good job we haven't really got anyone listening, let alone anyone sort of crazed.
Yeah, crazed, really good tech-savvy crazed fans.
Unless the few we do, there is a crazed one in there who accounts for all of it.
All of it, yeah.
You never know.
You find out. Check your bank account.
Check my bank account and, a Ring doorbell installed.
Yeah. There are other doorbells available, though. We are not sponsored. How are you doing?
Although, if Ring do want to chuck a bit our way.
Yeah, please
we
do.
We won't say no. We will only then talk about Ring. We'll work it into each episode seamlessly. We're good at that.
Yeah. If there's one thing we are good at, it's that. Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, man. British week.
I know. And do you know what? No one can see John, but if you could, right, he sat there. He's got a knotted hanky on his head. Two poppies.
I'm sat on a deck chair.
He's sat on a deck chair. He's got a copy of The Sun under his arm.
Yep.
And a Union Jack beach towel.
A Union Jack vest.
A Union Jack vest, yeah.
Yeah, British week. This is our final week of like actual reviewing things for the 90s.
Yeah.
Good send-off, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you were really pushing for this from you know, weeks ago.
From day one. I just think it's a good way to sort of talk about two albums that aren't necessarily going to be the same, but do have a link. However, we kind of ended up with two. They're not a million miles away from each other. Bolt Flower and Bolt
Flower.
Not Flower, yeah. and
that was their beer they brought out.
Yeah. And Ben's Addiction.
That's right. You've done very well with the names there, John. Benediction. Benediction. Well, we've got two bands that are actually really quite linked in multiple ways.
Okay.
And actually, talking about doing British metal, we're basically doing Birmingham metal, aren't we? Doing Brummy metal.
Oh, so both are they from Coventry? I remember reading somewhere.
Oh, I thought Birmingham. Are they not Birmingham? Well, I mean, obviously Coventry and Birmingham are a million miles apart, but.
I remember reading them from Coventry. I got
that bit wrong immediately. Oh, yeah, they are from Coventry. First fact wrong, yeah. You got the names wrong. I got the thing wrong. I mean, all right, okay, we're doing Midlands. We're doing Midlands metal.
Midlands metal. Midlands death metal with a bit of groove / hardcore influence. Were you into either of these bands? I mean, obviously, Bolt Thrower, I know that you dipped into them a bit. But had you sort of gone into Benediction before?
Never heard of them. Bolt Thrower, I'd heard of them for a long time, but hadn't listened to them until really, you know, in the last few years. But only one album, The Fourth Crusade, which was the one after the one we're doing today, which I loved and listened to fairly regularly. But I'd never gone further into their discography than that.
Yeah, I'm similar. Like I have wore. I think when I first got my vinyl player, Bolt Thrower was one of the first ones I got. First vinyls I got. It was War Master, this one, but I never really kind of dived into their whole discography. It was just kind of this and Realms of Chaos.
Oh, you did Realms of Chaos as well.
Yeah, I knew it. That was one that I checked out like after War Master. Yeah, I mean we'll get into them when we get into them. But Benediction, no, I'd never gone into at all.
So no,
this was completely fresh.
Yeah, let's go straight into Bolt Thrower before we give too much away, shall we?
Yeah, okay. So yeah, 1991, wasn't it? This was their third studio album released on Earache.
Yeah. And it was this album. I remember you linking me to these like a while ago, and I checked out the first song on it, and I remember thinking with track one that it's that had a similar sound to what they went on to do. Because this is quite a transitional album for them, isn't it?
Yes.
It's kind of their previous like Realms of Chaos and that, what is it, in War or in Battle There Is No Law or something, the one before it.
Yeah, the first one, yeah.
Which was the more grindcore sound. And then, from Fourth Crusade onwards, they've kind of moved fully away from that and they've settled in.
Yeah.
To what they kind of carried on being. But on Warmaster, it's that real transition between what they were doing with Realms of Chaos and what they carried on doing from Fourth Crusade onwards. It's that sort of middle part. And I think for me, I'm going to have to say this, John, it's their best album that I've heard.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good, yeah. I'm in an agreement. I think it gets the best of both worlds, like with the kind of, there's just very good transitions and tempo shifts throughout this record, but it's the riffs, man, the riffs are just so simple, but they're so powerful and effective.
Yeah, they are.
I'm in full agreement with you there.
It's, I just started to make a point at the beginning, then went off it. But what I was getting at, I remember you, when I was really listening to Fourth Crusade and like having a bit of a binge on it, I remember you sending me Warmaster and I heard track one and I remember thinking, this sounds a lot like what they're doing on Fourth Crusade, but not quite as well. So I didn't actually persevere with it.
Okay.
But if I had done, if I got through to track two,
yeah,
which is now my favourite Bolt Thrower song.
Really?
Oh, man. Yeah, What Dwells Within is so good. Yeah. I would have realised that this album has got, in a sense, more to it because I think they settled on a sound that they wanted during this that they then moved, you know, went forward with on their next albums. But this album had that kind of a bit more of a diversity to it. And
yeah.
I think it's quite welcome in their sound because as great as Bolt Thrower are, I do find they're quite, I don't use the word samey because that sort of sounds like a negative.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
It's almost quite, it's relatively one-dimensional, but that's fine because I love that dimension that they're in and I enjoy just listening to it. But I feel like on Warmaster, because they're still using a little bit of the grindcore influence on there, there's just a little extra flavour as the album goes on to make it actually just a bit more interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree there. It's definitely a good mix of that kind of like caveman with like, I don't want to say watered down grind, but it's just grind influence within their death metal. And I think, it really shines throughout. What Dwells Within was your favourite song?
I really loved
Destructive Infinity. I really loved.
Yeah, that's another one. And that's great. That's like that sort of, it's a great kind of death doom.
Yeah, song. It's that single note, isn't it? That single note lead riff that just sort of gives that doom feel. But yeah.
And then they kind of pick up the pace as it goes on as well. Like it doesn't stay the same all the way through. They've got kind of a formula, haven't they, to their songwriting of like coming in with them with a double kick.
Yeah.
Over
double tempo and then.
It works well, doesn't it? Like it's, they know it sounds great. And it does sound
exactly.
Great.
It does sound great. And not to give too much away, but it's something that Benediction, like when we go on to them, I think that's something that Benediction will try to do, but not as successfully. But I guess we'll unpack that more. But it's just, this Warmaster is a very good example of how to do formulaic to a degree, but like when executed well, it doesn't really matter.
It feels like it's their own thing, though, the way they do it. Like when you hear bands that sound like this that aren't Bolt Thrower, you just think, oh, this band sounds like Bolt Thrower. You don't think this band are a death metal band. You think this band are playing Bolt Thrower style death metal.
Yeah, it's so true. The most recent one that comes to mind is Frozen Soul. Like,
yeah.
Frozen Soul, especially that first track on Warmaster, that sort of like intro / unleashed, that you can hear Frozen Soul now and just think that song is literally like taken from and put it on a Frozen Soul record.
Right.
Which is why I love Frozen Soul and I think they do that sound really well.
I haven't really listened to them. I think you showed me their new album and you said it wasn't actually quite like what the first one was and I wasn't really into it.
Yeah, I think check out the first record because that offers a lot more kind of Bolt Thrower isms without being overly polished. But I mean there's a whole list of bands that rip off Bolt Thrower.
I've listed a few for you. Do you want to hear some?
I'm excited for that, Mike. Yeah, please.
Well, so And do you know what? There's some, another one came to mind, but not as a sort of a ripoff, but a band that you can kind of really hear the influence. Who I'll start off with, actually. Do you know that hardcore band Marauder?
Yeah, Marauder. Yeah.
I feel like they've got a bit of Bolt Thrower in. They've got a lot of Bolt Thrower in there, actually.
Yeah. I'm not familiar enough with that. What's that album called? Is it
Master Killer?
Time to Kill or something? Master Killer, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with it enough to say that it's like Bolt Thrower-esque, but yes. Any others?
Well,
it is. I'll take your word for it.
Well, first of all, I mean, there is actually a band called Memoriam that's the vocalist and I think one of the guitarists band they did after Bolt Thrower, which is of very similar sound.
Okay. I've never heard of them.
But I suppose I don't know if they count or not, really.
Because it's the same people.
Yeah. But there's a band, right? There's a band called Chainsword, and they sound so much like Bolt Thrower that even in their write-up they've done themselves, they say something on the lines of like, now Bolt Thrower split up, we can do our second album and not worried about being sued.
We're basically the new Bolt Thrower.
Yeah. But the best band I've heard, and this is the most shameless, is a band actually called Warmaster.
Bloody hell.
And they do. Oh, man, they're so good, though. They are really good.
Oh, really? Where do you stand on blatantly obvious band names taken from popular band songs?
I think in the sense of this, right, it's so blatant and they're obviously not hiding it whatsoever that I don't mind that.
You don't mind it?
In that occasion, like, I think it's subjective. If it's a band playing music you like by a band that you like, I think you've got more leniency towards it. But if it's a band that sounds like a band that you don't like and it's this obvious...
And they don't like it, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, there's a bias element to it.
That is true. The one that comes to mind immediately is that sort of thrash band, Creeping Death.
Oh, like, yeah.
The Metallica song. But...
Do they sound like Metallica though?
No, they're kind of like new age thrash, which right. it's kind of different, but I just don't enjoy them at all. And I think the name doesn't help.
No.
Because it's just so blatant. Like, I don't know, you might as well just called it Master of Puppets or Ride the Lightning, you know?
Yeah. It's an anger.
Yes. Fucking hell. Do you reckon there is a Saint Anger band?
Do you know what? Probably not. I don't think
gonna
so.
Just assume no.
But you know how things sort of come around in that? I wonder if there'll be a scene of bands that only want to sound like St. Anger era Metallica. Anger. Same production.
It's very possible, man. It's very possible.
Same terrible backing vocals.
So, just all of it.
Same,
all
yeah, just bad. Overall terribleness. So I want to be in a band that's really shit. All right, let's talk about a band that's not shit. Let's talk about Bolt Thrower.
Yes, let's do it.
What else am I going to say about it? Oh, one thing, right? You must have noticed this because you listened to Realms of Chaos as well, is they tuned up, didn't they, on this album compared to Realm of Chaos?
Ooh. Possibly. It's not immediately clicking. Oh, they did. They did.
Yeah,
so what?
I don't know exactly. I think they were in something like A standard on... Realm of
really?
Chaos. Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember it.
Huh?
I don't remember it sounding that low.
No, it does.
I guess,
yeah.
I think maybe because the production is very different. So I think that sort of, the guitar's not as thick, so it kind of doesn't sound as low.
It does sound low though. Listen to it after the app, you'll hear.
Okay. So they probably got up to like a C or something for Warmaster.
Yeah, I think they went up to about like C standard on this one. And it just kind of, I think, just tightened everything up. Because the production on this album, like it's in 91 as well, is amazing.
Yeah. It's huge, isn't it? But without being stupidly polished, but it just sounds great.
Yeah, the drums, there's a bit, you know, track 3, Shreds of Sanity, the drums in that intro when he's doing like the kind of fills and stuff sound massive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really, really good, man. There's so many good songs on this album, though.
It's more or less start, like, if you're just in the mood for like this sound, you can leave it on start to finish. There's no skippable.
No, I don't think
none
so.
None of it is skippable. There is a classic fade in on track 7,
and fade out.
Fade out. But we never really spoke. I can't remember what band we spoke about that had a fade in.
Extreme had a fade in.
That was it, Extreme.
Talking about this, I wanted to mention this to you. This is interesting if you didn't already know. So that song, Cenotaph, mm-hmm. you know the riff that it fades in on?
Yeah.
That's used in four more albums.
Really?
They use that riff. And so it starts, so on Realm of Chaos, it starts, it's the closing riff of the song World Eater, and it fades out on it.
Right, and then fades in on Cenotaph.
And then fades in on that, but then on Embers, on Fourth Crusade, it does exactly the same, fades in as the intro, and then goes to something else. And the same on Mercenary, they do it on the song Powder Burn, and on the Kill Chain, on those ones, Loyal as well, exactly the same.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like it, yeah. But it was weird, when I was listening to Warmaster, when Cenotaph was playing, I thought, hang on, I recognise this. And I sort of had to look, because I thought for a second that they might have re-recorded Embers or something for Fourth Crusade. When I looked it up, I realised, they reused the riff, like four, five times overall.
Interesting. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. That's cool. Not that it's a problem, but a lot of Bolt Thrower riffs are very similar.
Yeah.
They have... What's the word? I don't know. I was going to say je ne sais quoi, but...
Say it.
It's British week, so I'll probably have to...
You can't say it, no. Get them out. We don't need them here. Don't need that foreign language. They do. They do. But I just feel like on this occasion, it's one of those things of like, why change it? Like what they do works. Like, they don't... Yeah. If they're trying to change it too much and add variation, then those are just times when you're missing out on just great riffing.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. This album, I was doing some digging as to where a lot of people think this sits in their sort of Bolt Thrower discography. It's really mixed, man.
It is mixed.
A lot of people put it as like either 1-2 or like, you know, top three, but then 50% were putting it like 7-8-4, like last.
Well, the thing with Bolt Thrower is they've got a really strong discog, really.
Yeah.
That's the thing with them. And also, bear in mind, like, later on, they were doing that kind of mid-paced death metal. They had quite a bit more groove in it. And I suppose people might be more of a fan of that than listening to the more stuff that's got the more kind of pacey and the sort of, you know, the sort of injections of grindcore and stuff there.
Yeah.
But for me, I didn't think I was going to feel this, but this to me is my favourite Bolt Thrower album.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, it's really fucking good.
Well, I was going to say, and I did a bit more of their discography whilst, you know, during this week. So I checked out For Victory and Those Once Loyal as well. And they're really, really great albums as well. Really good. But I prefer this. I actually prefer this.
Went back to Warmaster more.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. That's cool. I don't really have much more to say about this. I think we sort of...
Oh, God, I could say loads. Actually, can I give you my gripe about this album, though?
Yeah, go on.
And I'm laying this at Bolt Thrower's door, but it's not just them.
Okay.
And it's something I've noticed doing the 90s in particular. I'm sick to death of...
Oh, God.
...intros, album intros.
Really?
How many
albums... For this in particular, Warmaster, this intro, it's not long enough for it to annoy me.
It's a good minute. It's a minute. A minute.
Yeah, but I mean, how gagging for Bolt Thrower are you that you just can't wait that minute?
I think for me in general, like with an intro to an album.
Yeah.
Especially on this one, that the intro is part of track one, like it's not its own individual thing.
Yeah.
And I just think, I don't know, I'm just not a fan of them, man. If a band doesn't go straight in on something or whatever, and they have like a bit of feedback and stuff, then it does, and it gives you that sort of feel that you're in the room with them. I like that.
Yeah, and it's anticipation as well, isn't it? It's you put it on and it's, rather than just immediate. I mean, they're different effects for different things, right? Because obviously some bands just come straight out the gate and... you know, don't have an intro and it can be really effective. But I don't know, there's something about a kind of build-up that builds up that anticipation of when the kind of, you know, when that riff's going to kick in.
No, I'm bored of it.
Would you have preferred it if it was its own track that you could have skipped?
Yeah.
Was the fact that it was built in was more annoying for
you? That annoyed me, yeah.
Oh, Okay.
I found myself skipping track one sometimes because I could be arsed.
But I love track one. I think that's one of my favourites on there, like the actual like song part of it.
Yeah, but the intro, I mean, the intro kind of, I know, I get in this, the intro does kind of set the scene and things, but I don't know, man.
Yeah, no, I can hear your point. I don't necessarily like agree with it, but I can understand why you'd be annoyed with certain intros.
Can I talk more about track two? Because that is so good, man.
Please do.
This could become my favorite metal song. I'm not saying it is now, but I love it so much.
Wow.
It's
great.
That's
high praise.
It's great, man. It's so good. It just does everything that I want to hear in kind of like an extreme metal song.
Yeah.
And there's this really great bit on there where they do a change in the riff that's playing and they go back into the intro riff, but the drums stay the same. It's about 2 minutes 20 something.
Yeah.
And they bring back in the main opening, but just the way it changes is so good. And I remember the first time I was like, oh, this is brilliant. It's so simple.
It's so simple. That's one thing that I jotted down with track four as well, Profane Creation.
Great song.
Their riff transitions are really cool.
Mm.
They're like so simple, but they're so effective of like going in and out of different riffs but without like sort of making a fuss about it. If that makes sense.
No, they don't. It's not like they add little clever parts to like bridge things. They just do it, but I don't know how it works so well for them to do it just in that really simple, straightforward fashion, but it just works.
Yeah.
I think maybe the thing with Bolt Thrower is their songs kind of work on flow, don't they? And they sort of work on not really varying too much. In that sense, you know, like I mean, I know there's changes in pace on Warmaster, but in general, it seems like they try and have all the riffs kind of flow into one another.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
That song as well, track four, had a really good guitar solo in it.
The guitar solos throughout, I think, are really cool. I love a guitar solo that is just squealy and nuts.
That's what most of them are, aren't they?
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. Like, I love when they just throw that out there. I can't remember track six, Final Revelation.
Yeah.
This just nuts, off the rail solo comes in, like, quite near the start. Very unexpected, because usually their kind of solos are more towards the back end of songs.
Yeah.
So that was quite a nice sort of juxtaposition for that. But that song as well was really cool, man, Final Revelation. It was really pummeling.
That was a song that I found at the beginning of it was a bit, wasn't that memorable to me. But then as it got better as it went on. And I think it just became more and more intense and heavy. Because if I remember rightly, the first parts of it is quite slow, quite simple. And then it just sort of gets heavier as it goes on. Got the right one?
I mean,
probably.
It could be described.
I could just say anything and be like, yeah, I think yeah. so.
Is it the one that's kind of got a riff in it?
and the double pedals coming over the top.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
He's got a great voice, hasn't he, as well?
Yeah, great delivery. You can really sort of hear what he's saying rather than it just being a load of noise.
I noticed on a couple of songs, what he does well is he's able to end a song with the vocal sort of coming right at the end, and you can really make out what he's saying.
Yeah.
And it's something quite cool and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think cool is just a word to describe this album. It's just something
it
really
is, man.
Cool about it.
It really is.
The title track, Warmaster as well. I think that's one of my standouts. Yeah,
really good. Yeah, really good verse riff in that as well.
Yes. Yeah.
The only song that I found was a bit, you know, was a bit nothingy. That was the one after that, Rebirth of Humanity. It was good, perfectly good. But compared to others, it maybe was a bit filler.
Yeah, I could hear that. I mean, if we're going to do a shuffle, bloody shuffle edit, we could probably shave it. And
we shaved that one. But Afterlife, the album close was brilliant as well, man. That was a highlight for me as well.
Yeah, really good.
Just a great album, man. Really, really great.
It is. And it's packaged amazingly. Like, I love the artwork for it. The artwork's fucking cool.
Well, that was one of the guys from Games Workshop, wasn't it?
it was. So apparently Games Workshop offered to do the art for it, but it was too expensive.
Yeah.
So they kind of just got one of the, was it one of the artists from there to just do it?
I think so, yes. I don't think this is like a, you know, an official...
it's not an official Games Workshop thing, but it's very much within the realms of that kind of
war. Yeah, it looks great, man. You're right, it's the package of it. You look at the art when you listen to it, you think this is great.
I mean, the art is just incredible. Like, in terms of, like, front cover, it's one of my favourite. It's one of my favourite, you know, covers. I think it's so cool.
What about band name as well? Best band name in metal?
Bolt Thrush, it's an amazing band name. They've just nailed it.
Yeah.
They've just nailed it. And, like...
I think, like, all of that together is a reason they're still almost quite important. Do you know what I mean? People still talk about them and are still into them. They're still influencing bands all over the place.
Yes, they are. And I think because they have quite a crossover following. I think, like, hardcore kids quite enjoy Bolt Thrower.
Would you remember that brief time when the hardcore Reddit page turned into a Bolt Thrower tribute page instead?
I do. Yeah. That was great.
Heady days.
That was one of the times the internet kind of comes up trumps, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It was very enjoyable. I enjoyed that. Should we score this one?
Yeah, score. I haven't actually got anything written down.
I've got something written down, but I was thinking about this, yeah. Like, can you, and I'm not saying I am, but can you give something a 5 if you haven't got like a history with it already? Like, if you haven't got like any kind of nostalgia added to it, do you feel like you could get an album that you haven't really listened to before?
Yep.
And give it a 5?
I think that's very much possible. Have we not? What have we given perfect scores to?
Electric Wizard and Rage Against the Machine.
Electric Wizard and Rage Against the Machine, that's it. Yeah, I think you can. I think we gave Brutal Truth pretty high.
I did. I gave it a 4.8 or so. No, 4.7 I think I gave it.
And what was like 4.5 or something?
Something like that. Do you remember when I gave John Zorn a 4.9?
Yeah, I did.
I haven't listened to it since.
I can't. Yeah, I bet you haven't. I can't forget, mate. That was lunacy.
It's an incredible album.
Incredible is a word, yes.
It's not your thing, but it's, you know, you're not cultured like me, John. You haven't got the musical palette that I have to enjoy stuff like that.
So true.
But I mean, look, I'm giving this a 4.9.
Okay, that's high. I'm gonna. Why not the 5 then?
I just feel like I need more time with it to decide whether it's a perfect album. So that's it. And I think, you know, I just take off the 0.1 because there's maybe like one song that's not, it's a little bit fillery and the whole intro thing annoys me.
Yeah, I hear that. Okay. 4.9, that's high, man. That's very
high. Listen, come back to me on this because I feel like this is going to be an album that I listen to now regularly for a long time.
Oh, cool. Okay. I'm thinking 4.7.
Big scores.
I've actually enjoyed it more.
Top 5, probably.
Because I hadn't actually listened to this in full for quite a while. I'd probably say I enjoy it more now than I did when I sort of first got into it.
Did you listen to your vinyl copy on any of your listen throughs for this?
No, I didn't actually.
You didn't?
No. Yeah. Ease, isn't
just
it?
Just lazy man. Very lazy man. Uncultured again, as I said. Uncultured guy. Right. Did you see him? He's got a Union Jack hanging over the back of his door.
Right. Let's move on. From the good.
Oh.
To
the what? What are you saying about
to the not so good?
Not so good. Not as good.
Not as good. That's a good way of putting it. That's a very cultured way of putting it. Thanks for that.
I'm just trying to sort of rub off on you, John, and I don't mean that in a sexual way. We got Benediction Grime Bastard from 1998.
Nuclear
I don't think I could say
blast.
That in a more cultured way.
No.
So
no, you can't.
So this band, Benediction, they are from Birmingham.
Yep.
Do you know the original singer was?
Was it Barney from Napalm Death?
Yeah. You'd think it was him on this album, wouldn't you?
Similar. Very similar.
Very similar. But, so the guy on this album, Dave Ingram, he left after this came out and joined. Who did he join, John?
I don't know, but their name rings bells.
Rings a bell, isn't it? I don't know. Sorry. So he left and joined Bolt Thrower after this.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, so there are some links.
So he was the singer for Bolt Thrower for two albums, I think, and then the other guy came back to do those once Loyal.
Interesting. That's a good fact. Good little factoid.
Yeah. See, I told John during the week that I was going to be the professional this week.
Yeah. Well, you said you've got a list of bands that were, you know, ripped off thingy, and I was expecting like a long 10 plus. You gave me two.
I gave you two. Well, I've got a few more.
All right.
Yeah, but Benediction. But the thing is, if I then just sort of list, I might be just listing bands that are influenced by them.
So what you're saying is you went further and gave me more by giving me less.
What I'm saying is I didn't do enough.
it's a very good.
I didn't do enough.
Back to Benediction.
Yes. So this is their... God, shit, what album is this?
The album's called Grind Bastard. You're not listening to it this week?
No, I've listened to it. I haven't looked up
on,
where this came in there.
Well, I can tell you, Mr. Professional, this is their fifth studio album.
It's their fifth.
Yeah, so they've been around for some time. And this came out in 98, so sort of very similar point, very distant points from the two records, 91 and 98. This, I don't know where this stands in their sort of discography, but did you tell me to listen to the first album or one of their previous albums?
I think it was their third album, actually, Transcend the Rubicon.
And it sounded a lot more death metal than this did.
Yeah. 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 This album to me, Grind Bastard, it had some death metal in there, but it was more of like a thrash, hardcore kind of crossover type album. Yep.
100%. It was reading far more hardcore than death metal.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. But I don't know if there was albums before then that was going that way, but I've only heard Transcend the Rubicon one. It is way more death metal and a lot better actually as well.
Yeah, from what I heard, it was a lot better. So my journey with this was quite interesting. Like I put it on. It was not what I was expecting.
That opening intro to track one's horrible, isn't it?
It's bad, but when I first heard it, something about it was quite... I enjoyed its simplicity. I was like, okay, it almost had like a industrial / groove feel to it.
Well, I was going to say, it sounds like Fear Factory. It sounds like the opening of a Fear Factory album.
It was that kind of chuggy pattern, isn't it? That's quite Fear Factory.
Yeah, with that dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum, that bit, yeah.
That's right. But then once I kind of got past the kind of, I want to say, novelty of it being like this kind of new band that I'd not heard, fuck, man, it was an absolute struggle to get through this.
I would say this album, to me, there was a few songs peppered throughout that I really liked, but there was quite a lot of filler as well. Three covers.
So I was going to say, the ones that you enjoyed, the covers.
One of them was, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm assuming Electric Eye is probably your favourite.
It's great. I love the original, okay, and this was a good cover of it as well.
Yeah, great cover of it. His voice actually sounds really good on the chorus.
Yeah. No, really, it was good. It worked really well. It worked really well.
It did work really well. And then it just sort of went back into more just kind of open string chugging and mediocrity for a long time. And then there'd be another cover. It was just weird.
I'm going to say nicer things about it than that, because I thought there was quite a lot of good stuff on here.
Okay, so let's take the covers out, right? So that's, what's that, track 6, track 12,
track 12 and 14. 14, I mean, imagine ending on an Anti-Nowhere League cover. It just sounds like a punk thing. Like, I did, unless that was a bonus track or something, because I don't know how, why you would end your album with sort of like an annoying punky type.
Yeah, very strange choices. And to be honest, the fact that they've done that and added these choices in made me hate it more.
Well, the album's an hour long.
Yeah, for no reason. Like, yeah. Why have you got three covers on there if your album's an hour long?
Well, also the track before it, that was like a long song, and the riff at the end is quite massive, and they sort of fade out on it, and it's like, well, that's how the album should end, and then they go into an Anti-Nowhere League cover. It's really odd.
Do you reckon that's how they initially intended it to be? And
well, that's why I thought this might be a bonus thing,
potentially. But then maybe that song. But then I don't think they would have put Electric Eye in as a bonus, like bang in the middle of the album.
No, I think they would have kept that one. But I wondered if that
just the Anti-Nowhere League.
Yeah, yeah. But
weird choice.
There was some, I thought the song, that song Magnificat was brilliant. I love that.
Interesting. Okay. I didn't enjoy it. The only song I enjoyed was Nerve Bomb.
Oh, the one, that was like the sort of, it was a real hardcore one with like gang shouts and stuff, wasn't it?
No, it was like a kind of thrash. It was like the closest to like a thrashy death metal track.
It had a hardcore element to it. There was like gang shouts in it.
Was there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you just guess one? You just, well, fuck it.
Track,
I liked
Five. I like the name of that one. I mean, five. I like the sound of that one.
Yeah.
No, I thought Five was, probably their best. And even then, like, their best was just okay. And it was the best on there because it was in between such, like, average, I don't know. Whether like, this kind of like mid to late 90s was a point in time where music went, I don't know, a bit chuggier, like a bit more, just a bit more basic. I'm unsure, because it seems strange that you'd adopt this following that kind of death metal.
Well, you've only got to look at someone like Sepultura as well. What year was that? That was around 96, yeah. Was it, when they did Roots? That's
so true.
I think it probably was something quite common at that point for bands to kind of do that.
Yeah, riding that wave of.
But this album is as bad as you're letting on to be, I don't think. There's some good, there's some really good stuff on there.
Where?
All right, I'll give you the songs I really like. So Magnificat, I thought was really good. And there was one called Carcinoma Angel, which was a really good song.
Track 10. Yeah. Again, that was the one that sounded a bit more like actual, actual metal. That sounds rude, but it had more of that kind of death metal flavor.
Yeah, no, it did. And I like Nerve Bomb, and there was one called The Bodiless that I liked as well. This is what I wanted to ask you about, though. There's a song on it, you're not going to know this because you obviously didn't care that much about it, but there's what, did you hear the song We the Freed?
Free the Weed.
That's the one.
Yeah,
there was about a minute and a half into it, he does like an almost rap.
It was on my note.
Did you see it?
Yeah, very groovy / rap metal. And then I put dot, 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 sigh.
Yeah, I actually put that I really liked the beginning of the song. I thought that it was like a fast hardcore one. I enjoyed it. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh.
Yeah, that's literally on my notes. Nice shorter song, thankfully, although not very exciting. Oh no, goes groovy rap metal almost dot 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 sign.
That was a bold move. I'll give them that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It started, like I said, like I started off and I quite enjoyed it. Like I genuinely thought, oh, this is quite interesting. And but once that kind of novelty worn off, and track two was just more mid paced chugging followed by double time drums and strum chords. Back into the chugging, back into that. I thought this is going to be a chore. And that's the kind of link that I sort of brought up when we were talking about Bolt Thrower, that like, although Bolt Thrower have that kind of, okay, they'll do a riff, then they'll double time it with a double kick, and then they'll, it's kind of formulaic. This was the same, but just nowhere near as effective.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, that song Magnificat was so good. I loved it. And there's this,
really?
There's a melodic part they bring in on it, which sort of comes out of nowhere, and I remember when it first heard it, I was like, "Oh, that's interesting," and it worked really well.
I'm surprised that you enjoyed it. How many times did you listen to it?
All the way through?
No, with the intention of.
I'd say I listened to it probably overall 3 times.
Okay. And how many times did you go back to Magnificat?
Maybe a couple more times than the times I listened to it.
Okay. Yeah. I guess you might have spent longer with it than I did.
John, honestly, there's, I would say 2/3 of it is quite a throwaway for me.
Yeah. Which is a lot.
It is a lot. I'm just changing my score as we're talking because I'm thinking, as I'm talking out loud about things, you know what?
Why did you have it 4.9?
I know. I had a 4.7.
What did you have? Go on, initially.
I had it at 3.7.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's fair if you enjoyed it, I guess. There was track 3, West of Hell.
Yeah, that was boring. I remember thinking,
weird song title. Weird song title. But it was. They had some really cool drum fills on that song. That was like kind of the most standout aspect from a drum point of view, I thought, was on that song.
Well, the drummer was good. Actually, I remember West of Hell. Sorry, I can't remember what I said something bad about it. It was that one did have some quite good death metal riffs in it.
Yeah.
Over like a faster part. But I found with a lot of the songs, there would be bits of nearly every one that I would enjoy, like a riff or something like that. But then the song overall would be relatively quite throwaway and boring.
Yeah.
But there were some really good ones on there as well. So, you know, I wouldn't say it was a bad album. I'd say it was sort of just like an okay album.
Yeah.
My score keeps going down the more I'm talking about it.
2.6. I think my... I'm just going to give it a score now because I don't actually have anything more to say about this.
Got nothing to say?
No. The cover is funny. I enjoyed the cover. I thought the cover was great.
Yeah, I enjoyed the cover. I mean, the cover's... What is it?
Different.
It's different. It's a lot of things, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
If it didn't have the band name on there and title,
yep,
or even just the title, what music would you think that was?
Ooh, Gabba, maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say something like that. Gabba, yeah, happy hardcore or something.
Yeah, it's like it's one smiley away from being a happy hardcore.
Yeah, that's it. If you put a smiley face, like the little yellow smiley face thing on there, the acid face or whatever, that perfect. Would you put that over where his eyes were?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Go on then, John. Tell me.
I'm going to hit it a 2.6.
2.6?
Yeah. I struggled with this one a lot.
Do you think it was mainly down to the length? You could have halved it, couldn't you?
You could have easily halved it. I'd say get rid of the covers, but my favourite moment was the Judas Priest cover.
Judas Priest cover. It was a good cover. Yeah.
Just keep that. Just that.
That Twist is this one. I'd never heard the original. I was like, it seemed like a really weird song to pick because it was really nothingy.
So yeah, I didn't know that was, because when I was reading it, I was like, okay, I knew the Judas Priest one and the Anti Nowhere League. I knew that was a cover.
Yeah,
but then I read there's 3, and I was thinking, where the fuck is the third one?
Mm.
And then it was just like, oh, track 12, and I was like, it was a really uninspiring cover and a really nothingy song.
What's weird as well is to have a cover on track 12, then an original, and then another cover.
Yeah, strange.
Really odd.
Very strange. There was one, track 7, Grind Bastard, the title track. Again, this kind of music doesn't need to be 7 minutes long per track.
No.
But there was a lyric in it, and I thought it said, I'm jacking off to watch you die. So I had to like look up what the lyrics were, but it was, I'm jacking up to watch you die.
Oh.
But the way he says it, I was like, there's no way he's actually saying that.
But for a second,
I thought he was. And I didn't know whether to give it more points for that or less.
Well, because you thought that and then it wasn't that.
If it was that, if you were saying, I'm jacking off to watch you die.
Oh, you'd go a point up, wouldn't you? You'd go
I might have given it a point more, yeah.
You'd go a point more.
Because of the absurdity about it.
Right, to my score.
Didn't you already score it?
No,
you didn't.
I gave you my scores at the beginning of the pod.
That's right. So hang on. So the beginning, at the start of the pod, you were giving this a 3.7?
3.7.
All right. And then you altered it at one point.
Yeah. And then again.
And then again.
And then again.
Oh, you've done it three times.
Three times. I've given it a 3.3. Which is harsh, isn't it? That's quite a jump.
Shaving the point off every minute.
Pretty much every time that I thought about it, I was like, oh no, yeah, you're right.
This has got to go down.
Hey, do you know what it was? It was when I remembered the rap bit again. I think I took two off for that.
Understandably as well.
Yeah, so 3.3.
Okay. One to miss, but Benediction as a band, like, I'm actually going to listen to that album more previously because I did enjoy what I heard from that.
Yes, same. But also, I don't know, I'd check out Magnificat if I was anyone who wants to check this album. And that song, Carcinoma Angel, was really good.
Yeah, track 10. Yeah, that was cool.
And if you like the original, the Judas Priest, check out the cover. Yeah. It's a good cover, really good.
All right, this is a little bit controversial.
Go on.
Is the cover better than the original?
I would say, take
away the fact that it's Priest and it's kind of iconic. The cover is really good. Yeah, maybe not as good, but...
It's nearly on a par, it's different, but it's on a par, sort of, isn't it?
Yeah, it's strange. There was something about his voice on that hook, on the chorus, that just, I was like, this is really cool.
It is really good. It is really good. Honestly, I definitely recommend that one.
Yeah.
Next week.
Next
step. Sorry, next step. Whatever, next week.
Well, yeah, we don't
Which
have any
next
more.
Week, yeah.
We don't have any more to shuffle, do we?
We're done, finally.
We'll do a recap.
With this, a recap next week. So what we're going to do, John, we haven't spoke about this. I just want to sort of quiz you on it now.
Sure.
Go on. What are we doing?
So last season, I was going to say last year, last season, we ran through all the, we covered all the albums that we did, but we also, you sort of ranked, didn't you, where you thought each album was going to be within the total.
Yeah.
When you add up the totals. I don't know if we want to do that this year because we've done a lot of eps for the 90s.
There's too many to do that. I think we need to do like a, you know, do like a chart rundown. And like on Top of the Pops, they used to do a chart rundown and you sort of go through them, and then you get to the top 10 and you spend a bit more time on each of them.
Okay, so what we'll do, I'll collate the scores and and the average, and then I'll do a rundown quickly from like, 20 to 10 or whatever, and then we could sort of go into a bit more detail between...
How many albums have we got? We've got more than 20 albums, haven't we?
How many have we got?
John's talking, this is like sort of tail keeps coming up in front of him.
He's obsessed with sitting on my keyboard. It's fucking annoying. Right. Cat out of the way. Yeah, we've got a lot of albums. I don't know how many episodes we're on.
I reckon we've done like 20 episodes of the 90s near enough. So we've got about 40 albums to go through.
Fucking hell. That's a bit much, isn't it?
So I reckon we're going to have to speed through the first 40 down to 20. We're going to have to, like, you could just read them out. Yeah. And I'll stay silent. I might go and do something else and you can just text me when you're done.
Yeah, I'll do that. I think that's probably the best idea. And then what do you want to sort of guess again, or should I just read out what we're doing?
I think at this point, maybe we'll start guessing. I'll start guessing towards like the last, maybe the top 10 or top 5.
Top 5, but, yeah, okay.
We'll just go through them. I've got a little game that I've thought up as well that we're going to play.
Okay, yeah, go on.
No, I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to do it.
Okay.
Because I'm going to do something for you to play along to.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, so next episode will be a kind of recap of what we've gone on to. And also, we'll, you know, talk about, have we gone back to any of these albums? Are they in our rotation?
Yeah, the answer probably for most to be a resounding no, particularly me, who's given stuff really high scores and then never listen to it ever again.
Yeah, you're like, who?
Yeah, exactly. Who's that? John who?
Okay, and then bang onto the noughties. No, what we'll do, no gap
at the,
either.
Well, at the end of the recap, we'll start again on the noughties, pick our thing.
So we start with the winner of the 90s, right?
Yeah, that's what we do. So
which
whatever genre won,
it's going to be Doom, isn't it?
It's going to be Doom, or it's going to be rap metal.
What else did we get in Doom? It was Wizard and,
eh? Oh, wait. Aren't we just going with whatever the album fits into that wins it?
Yeah. Yeah.
But we've got two. We're going to be tied.
Yeah. So you take overall.
Oh, we take
genre?
The other one. We take the other one.
Yeah.
I can't remember what else we got.
No, me neither. But in rap, it was Kid Rock.
Oh, fuck, we scored that quite high, didn't we?
I know, quite high,
but like, it wasn't. It had a decent score.
If rap metal ends up being the genre of the decade,
I don't mind.
I guess that sums up the 90s, doesn't it?
It comes up the 90s, but also rap metal in
comes up the 90s. You thought we got away with that one, didn't you?
When I said that, I was like, did I just say that? And did John hear that? I suppose it did in a way.
Yeah, really. Quite, did.
Some of it did. Probably Kid Rock.
Yeah, all of it Kid Rock. Exciting then. I guess we'll find out what's going to be the starting point next week.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one. All right.
All right, well, join us next week then as we do a recap. Check us out on the socials, on X, Twitter, and Instagram. Like and subscribe. And yeah, all of those things. It all helps, isn't it, John?
It helps. It does. Helps us.
I haven't noticed any of the help, but...
Well, it helps us help you somehow.
No.
The listener. Not you, personally, but
no.
You,
and not
the
them.
Listener. I don't really know what we're saying anymore.
Right, let's see everyone next week.
Yep.
For the recap. And then we'll move on to the noughties, finally.
Finally. Nice. All right.
Our heyday, isn't it, John? Which is your heyday, the noughties?
I know. It's without a doubt our heyday.
Yeah.
This is where we're going to... Our knowledge is going to shine.
Don't make claims you can't stick to, because then I'm going to feel that if I don't know, I'm going to have to start really putting some effort into it between weeks to become knowledgeable. And I don't think I've got it in me.
No. I think there's enough information there, you know, that we know what we're talking about in the noughties, because yeah, that was our heyday.
Let's see. I mean, if it's not, you know, that maybe the noughties will be where we end it. And just
for the listeners that have kept up this far, just know
well
that the good stuff's coming. Yeah. Well done. And you're only going to go up from here. So
yeah, exactly. We're going to get better. We promise. We will get better at this.
Yeah. We will. Okay. Thanks for listening.
Cheers.